Welcome to the Be Yourself Happy, Healthy, Hopeful podcast. I'm your host, Adriana Grande. I'm a health educator at the Bulimia Anorexia Nervosa Association, also known as BANA, here in Windsor, Essex. I'm thrilled to be here with you as we begin our journey of meaningful conversations about mental health, self-acceptance, and the path to wellness. Today, I'm joined by Erica Bisakos. Erica works in the role of Mental Health and Addictions Lead with the Windsor Essex Ontario Health Team. She was born and raised in Windsor and has made Windsor her home. Erica is a registered social worker and has always been interested in macro-level or system-level social work. Throughout her career so far, she has worked in quite a few organizations in the housing and homelessness, child and youth, poverty reduction, and healthcare sectors. She has dedicated most of her professional career to the area of mental health and addictions. Outside of work, Erica is an avid rock climber and musician. And, you know, on a personal note, over the past few years since starting at BANA, I've watched Erica completely transform how we view mental health and addiction services on a macro level in Windsor, Essex. And so I can't wait, Erica, for you to share more today. And everyone I told that I was like, well, I'm interviewing Erica for Ontario Health Team. They're all like, she is the best. She is so good at what she does. She is so smart. And so I'm really grateful you've taken the time to join me today.
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here and honored to have been asked. So thanks for that.
Of course. Okay. So Ontario Health Teams are relatively new. I know I have my own questions, even though I do work in this space. So let's get started. So the first question I have for you is, you know, before we go into those details of your role in Ontario Health Teams, can you maybe share a bit about what drew you to working in the mental health and addiction space? Maybe was there a personal moment or an experience that lit this path for you?
Yeah, I think like most people in mental health care, especially, or mental health and addictions care, they have a personal connection to the work. I think most people have a personal connection to mental health and addictions, but especially in this field. So without getting into a story about me and like specifics, you know, I've definitely been there, had to navigate services for myself, had to navigate services for a loved one, and have seen people who really needed help that couldn't maybe find it or get it. So there's a few kind of personal stories for me that I won't go into details about because that could be a whole podcast in itself. But just, you know, having trouble kind of navigating the system and just have like experiencing barriers to getting the care that they need. And I think just right away that really intrigued me. And then it got a bit deeper for me because I'm a person with quite a bit of privilege in the sense that like university educated, I've, you know, had the pleasure of working in different places. Like I live in Ontario. Like there's so many things kind of stacking up against me. And then I worked in, you know, shelters and in the area of like housing and homelessness or with kids that maybe didn't have access to a lot of resources. And I thought, if this is hard for me, like how hard could it be for someone who, you know, might not have the resources that I have? And it just kind of fueled that passion more and more. So I try to like take kind of bits of that past experience outside of mental health care into what I do now as well, because I think it's really important.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. I know that navigation piece is probably a very universal experience, right? I know it's getting better, obviously, but I know a lot of people listening can probably agree with that, even if it has gotten a bit better. And I think, you know, working in all these different sectors that you have worked in, although diverse, all kind of have the same through line, right? So kind of all led you perfectly to your role now, which is great. Okay, so now for kind of the nitty-gritty details, but for someone who has never heard of the Windsor Essex Ontario Health Team, can you tell us a bit more about what it is and what role it serves?
Yes, and this is a question we get a lot.
Yeah.
So I'll start by talking about like Ontario Health Teams as a whole. So Ontario Health Teams are a new way of organizing and delivering care that's connected to patients in their local communities. That's the idea. So in 2019, Ontario health teams were introduced by like Ministry of Health and Ontario Health as a way of better connecting a fragmented system. So there are 58 Ontario health teams across the province that provide kind of full provincial coverage, ensuring that every person in Ontario can have the support of an Ontario health team. So we're not unique in the sense that like only Windsor Essex has one. They are across the province and it was somewhat mandated. And the goal again is really to ensure that everyone in Ontario can benefit from that more coordinated integrated care. So Windsor Essex, like I said, is one of 58 in the province. So similarly, like we have an OHT or an Ontario health team in Chatham Kent and Sarnia Lambton, right? So those are kind of our regional ones that we try to work with as well and have similar goals. So that's Ontario health teams as a whole. The Windsor Essex Ontario health team is comprised of over 40 healthcare organizations, community support services, hospitals, home and community care providers, lived experience partners, and primary care providers that deliver services in Windsor Essex. That includes like so many anyone like adjacent kind of to health. And under Ontario health teams, basically healthcare providers, so that includes like hospitals, doctors, and home and community care work as one coordinated team. That's sort of the idea. So we're not an entity, we're a collaborative. So we bring together partners, we are our partners. And that's sort of the confusing piece. So like I'd argue BANA is the Ontario health team because you're one of nurse. So basically, like I said, we're kind of this new way to organize and deliver health services. So we bring together all of these different partners, including mental health and addiction service partners. And we work together specifically with patients, families, and caregivers to try to coordinate and deliver integrated care. And I know we're going to chat a bunch more, but in terms of like our focus. So this is kind of, I'd say the direction of Ontario Health Teams has really like every year we get our deliverables. This year, our fiscal year, they're really, really focused on primary care. So Ontario is really trying to attach every single Ontarian to a primary care provider or family doctor or nurse practitioner by 2029. And so that's a huge part of what we're focused on and kind of everything attached to that. So
That's a
not
lot.
only supporting primary care providers, but also making our whole system more convenient. So it helps primary care, but helps everyone. And that's kind of the idea there. So yeah, it's this big mystical thing. Does that help? Like, do you
It
feel like
does
you have a
help.
better understanding of what they are now?
No, I do. I actually really think like we are our partners is a really nice tagline because it kind of shows that, it is a collective or a collaborative of existing supports within the community that you are just supporting better integrated care. I feel like we're going to say integrated care 75 times in this conversation.
That is so funny.
No, and I think it's also interesting that you point out every year you get your deliverables, and those will probably change for you every year since 2019. So the work that you're doing, definitely, I think the goalposts might shift or get a little bit more refined. You have quite a lot of work to go on with your team at OHT, so
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
great.
healthcare is this huge system, right? So I think like it's the focus has always been more convenient, more integrated, more coordinated care across the entire health team spectrum. And now like really just that's we're seeing this really kind of narrow in on, and that starts with attaching everyone to a primary care provider. So
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that because I've heard attaching, like that concept of attaching patients or people with providers so much the past several months. This is all coming together nicely in my head anyway. So thanks for clarifying that. Speaking of health teams, sometimes I get a bit confused about all the different health teams or maybe all the different acronyms. So we did talk about Windsor Essex Ontario Health Team, but can you maybe tell us about how that is different from other health teams, like the Windsor Family Health Team? Can you clarify that a bit for me?
Absolutely. Acronyms are confusing. I know as a team, like our small staff team that like supports the work of the Windsor Essex Ontario Health team, we try to make it a point to not use acronyms in team meetings. Like, we always expand on them as much as possible, at least the first time we say it. And especially when we're engaging with patients, families, and caregivers, like, it's confusing enough for us as healthcare professionals to, with all the acronyms, let alone someone who doesn't work in the system. So we're always
Yes,
trying to acknowledge that.
absolutely.
But to answer your question, so Windsor-Essex Ontario Health Team, or the WE OHT we call
Yeah.
ourselves, is a collaborative of healthcare providers. Whereas Windsor-Essex, or Windsor Family Health Team, or WFHT, is a healthcare provider.
Okay.
So our work comes in bringing together all the providers to look at kind of that system level improvements and how do we all function as a system to make healthcare better. We don't offer direct services to the public, but all of our partners do. So Windsor Family Health Team is one of our partners, and they do some tremendous work in our community as an interdisciplinary primary care team. So they offer primary
Okay.
care and lots of supports attached to primary care as well.
Okay, so you are helping the Windsor Family Health Team attach clients or patients, I'm not sure the term used, to their services that they provide. Like that's the relationship between the two. Like you're referring people to the family health team to get care.
So yeah, I think like the main difference is like when you say you, I'm like, I'm not.
Oh,
So we
yeah.
don't have any
Yes. Thank you
staff
for clarifying
that
that.
directly like works with the public. So we're not a service provider. But we work with like the Windsor Family Health Team is one of our partners that offer services, and they participate in a lot of the committees that we have, you know, and they, I know Margot Riley, who's our executive director, has sat on many chair roles in various committees and has been super involved with a lot of projects that we work on. So she's involved in the systems level work, is doing like all sorts of things in the healthcare space. So it's like our partners really are the ones doing the work. Our work
Yes.
is just, you know, trying to get people to come together and collaborate, which they're already doing. We're just kind of trying to help. And also, you know, pointing to this kind of North Star of like better, more integrated care. So like all of our partners are working on that on their own. And we're just like this vessel to have those conversations together. That's the idea.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. I'm really glad I didn't understand that a minute ago because your clarification was very enlightening to me. So,
Okay.
yes. Okay, that was great. Thank you for expanding on that.
Yeah, no problem.
So, what about your, can you tell us a bit about your specific role and what your goal ultimately is?
Yeah. So at our WEHT, or Windsor-Essex Ontario Health Team, we do a lot of this collaboration in various committees. So including like sector tables, we call them, because there's lots of different kind of sectors within healthcare, and we have working groups as well. So my role is mainly in supporting our mental health and addictions sector table. So that brings together partners who provide mental health and addiction services in Windsor-Essex. There are a lot of those in Windsor-Essex. And we have a co-chair model. So I work with our sector table co-chairs. So this is Tammy Kotick, who's the Vice President of Mental Health and Addictions at Hotel du Grace Healthcare, Karen Waddell, who's the Executive Director at House of Sophrosyne, and Kira Holmes, who's the Interim Executive Director at Family Services Windsor-Essex. So I work with them and all the table partners to try to move our work plan forward and kind of connect it to this idea of integrated collaborative care. So that's my role in a nutshell, but happy to get more specific if you have any questions, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first started at BANI, you were at Hotel Du, I think, technically. So, can you maybe tell us a little bit about how your role has evolved? Was that pre-OHT? And then now you are officially with an Ontario Health team. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you have that history about my role. I wasn't sure if we were going to talk about that
Yeah.
today. So I started in the role of Coordinated Access Facilitator, I think was my title. it's funny not remembering. Yeah, Coordinated Access Facilitator with Hotel du Grace Healthcare. So I was actually hired through what is now the Mental Health and Addiction Sector Table. So there was a committee through the table that wanted to hire me for this time-limited project related to coordinated access. So coordinated access is a provincial priority and project that's happening where it's kind of a more coordinated way to access mental health and addiction services. This is being planned through the Mental Health and Addiction Center of Excellence, which is a provincial entity that works specifically on mental health and addictions at the provincial level. And so we knew this thing, provincial coordinated access, was coming. And so they were looking for someone to do current state mapping of our system currently to kind of prepare us for that. And so that's what I was hired to do. So I worked with Hotel Du Grace Healthcare, like I was employed by them, but really reported to and worked with the mental health and addiction sector table. At that time, it was actually called the MAN table or the Mental Health and Addiction Network, but we've since changed the
Yes.
name. But yeah, so that role, I was really working with all the same partners to map all of their services. And what I mean by map is really just meeting with them and making sure I had like a really good understanding of all the services they offered, you know, who is eligible for those services, what do they do, that kind of thing. And really just present that back to the leaders in the sector to talk about, you know, preparing for this provincial thing that is coming. And so I was in that role for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And then I think it made sense for me to move into the role with the Windsor-Essex Ontario Health Team, just because like people saw it as systems level work. And so it made sense for me to kind of work with this team and be connected to this like integrated systems level work. Yeah, because it doesn't just that work doesn't just belong with one partner. And I think that was kind of the recognition there. So that's the long, short story for you.
No, it makes so much sense. One, that they would choose you to do that because you're obviously very good at what you do. But two, I just want to also highlight to people listening how difficult and how much work mapping something like that is. The time to meet with all of these partners, which is over like 25 partners, I'm assuming, and piece that together into something that makes sense and then communicate it back to everyone in a way that makes sense. So I just want people to know how much work that takes over that much time. So we are very lucky to have you locally to kind of continue the work that you started with the WOHT. So that's great. And I feel like everyone always talks about how we work in silos, we work in silos. And what I'm understanding now is the OHT is working to, get people out of those silos, all at the same table in those committees, and move forward in maybe a faster way or more efficient way, I guess you could say.
I think that's the idea. I will say, like, you know, I think some of these tables existed even before the Windsor-Essex Ontario Health Team did. So I think when it was the MAN table, that actually was pre-Windsor-Essex Ontario Health Team. So, like, a lot of these collaboratives are already happening. I think just now you have this kind of backbone. We call ourselves kind of a backbone, right? This kind of supporting group of staff who are trying to just help with that collaborative work because we know it takes a lot of energy and a lot of leaders are doing it off the side of their desk because in addition to, you know, trying to create a more integrated system, they also have, you know, an agency to run and people to serve and that's a lot of work. So you said, you know, my role of mapping was a lot of work. I got to give kudos to every partner who met with me, took the time to fill out my gruesome surveys that I had. That took their time and energy too, and they were so willing to meet with me and, you know, have the conversations about it. So kudos to them as well, because it was a lot of work on their end too.
Absolutely. Thanks for saying that. And it's so nice to work in Windsor Essex in this space because everyone is always willing to have an extra project on the side to just help things and help other agencies move forward. So it's a great place to work. Okay, so we talked about integrated care a couple times now. Can you maybe tell us a bit of more about what integrated care is?
So I think like integrated care is really, well, it's like even if you have different service providers involved, right? So say, I won't even talk about mental health because I think a different example might be better, just simpler. But if like, let's say you have, you know, your family doctor that you go and see, but you also have a heart problem, so you have a cardiologist, and you also have diabetes, so you might have a diabetes specialist that you're working with. And I think like integrated care means all of those providers are talking to each other and are working as one team to support that patient. We see models like this all over through like what are called interdisciplinary primary care teams, where like they have that kind of baked into the model where there are lots of providers supporting a patient. And I think that's the idea is integrated means kind of like that shared record of care, a shared care plan where everyone's kind of in the loop to support that patient. So it's not on the patient to have to repeat their story or, have to kind of be an advocate for themselves at every place. So I think that's the idea of integrated care. Does that make sense? I don't
Yeah,
know.
absolutely. I was
Okay.
just thinking I could think of so many examples of people in my life who are like, I got sent to this specialist. It took me 6 months to get there. They had no idea what I was going in for. So I had to explain my story or complaints again. So I think, no, that definitely makes sense and is obviously something we've all been waiting for, I think, for,
Yeah.
this to continue to move forward in this direction.
Yeah, I think like we talk about transitions a lot as like kind of a pain point in our system. And I think the idea of integrated care is like you don't feel the transition, right? Like it's sort of everyone's working as one team. So it doesn't feel like, or even if you are having a transition, like it doesn't hurt. It doesn't, cause any undue burden for patients or providers.
Yeah, in a way, I feel like it's preventative care in a sense because I feel like people might drop off if, and not get the care that they need if they don't feel like that transition was supportive to them. So it's really encouraging that people will continue seeing their specialists, getting the treatments that they need or the referrals. So
Yeah.
big fan of integrated care now.
Yeah, and you talk about, people dropping off, and I think like this is really obviously it would help every patient, but especially those with the most like complex kind of needs, like chronic disease or like mental health especially, just, thinking about palliative care, like anywhere people have a lot kind of going on where you have lots of partners involved. Just making sure that you have that kind of coordinated support across everyone. And, ideally, this kind of shared digital record. So it's just easier to communicate. But as you said, it's a lot of work and things take time.
Absolutely, which is difficult in the moment to accept, but obviously understandable, like on that macro level, right? But what do you think is the biggest barrier to integration right now? Is it like the technology or the electronic health records, funding, or is it still those silos?
This question is like, I think, like, first off, I think, like, what makes it so hard is that our system is really, really big and complicated. Systems change is hard, and especially change management. So, like, we're talking about a really complicated system. And if we're going to change that system, it takes time. And I think that's kind of the hard part is like the resources it takes for change management to happen aren't necessarily a part of our system right now. I think they're starting to become part of our system, right? Like we have things like Ontario Health Teams to kind of support it. But I think just like the resources to make it happen, a different understanding of like roles being a little different than what they were. Like it's not in most people's job description, I think, to think about integration. I think that word is kind of scary for some, but really what it means is trying to, like, for the patient at the end of the day, making those transitions, not they're not pain points anymore. And I think that's the hard part is it's we don't have all the enablers to make that simple. And so it's like we're at that really crunchy time right now where we don't have the tools we need to make that simple yet. And as we introduce new tools, that means, oh, now this is a whole new process that a whole bunch of people need to learn, and that takes resources and time. Something as simple as e-referral, so like referring instead of by fax, like doing it via an electronic mechanism in the West region or where we live in Windsor Essex, like that's through Ocean e-referral. And like just getting people onto that system, the training, like that all takes time. And, people learning computers and like a whole bunch of things. So I think it's just that change is really, really hard. And our system is so complex and big that it's like there's so many things that need to happen all at once. And it's just, how do you have the time to do that while also caring for everyone? They still need help. You can't just pause and change it all. I think that's like the hard part is like there's so many moving pieces all working at once that maybe all need to change a little bit. And it's hard.
That's a really nice reminder. I feel like we can get in the weeds a little bit about things not happening fast enough, but it's nice to hear a systems level view of it and a reminder that things take. We know this, but we need a reminder that things take time. And also just shedding light on what does need to happen. There's like all of these things that need to happen. I'm using my hands as if the people listening to this can see, but this huge line of things that need to happen that you just mentioned, and we're just thinking about that small endpoint, right? So thanks for explaining that. You mentioned earlier that OHTs have a mandate to attach everyone to primary care. Can you tell us more about why that's important for mental health and addiction specifically?
Yeah, great question. I think like how I really understand it is like primary care and attachment to primary care, or I always like to explain like primary care means a family doctor or nurse practitioner, whoever your like
That's helpful.
go-to person is. Because I think when we say primary care provider, a lot of people are like, what are you talking about? Because not everyone uses that language, but like your family doctor or nurse practitioner, because nurse practitioners do great work as well and attach patients too. Being attached to your primary care provider just in general means better health care, right? Like it just means you're getting more of your needs met, right? You have someone that you can go to for, you have someone who's looking after you to make sure you get your cancer screening done, to make sure, you know, you get all your immunizations are up to date, with the support of public health as well, of course. Shout out to Westchester County Health Unit. So this all supports like better health. And I think if you're healthier, your mental health likely, like physically better, that means your mental health likely won't. Like it's better for that. It's a protective factor for your mental health if you're physically healthy. So I think right off the get-go, that I think specifically for mental health, beyond that, is it's kind of your home base. So if you need maybe a connection to a psychiatrist, just like you might need a connection to a cardiologist if you have something wrong with your heart, you might need a connection to a psychiatrist or a doctor who specializes in mental health, and you need a referral likely from your family doctor to make that the best it can be. You know, some people do get attached or get connected to a psychiatrist who don't have a family doctor, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's still great they're getting help, but you kind of want that home base to make sure someone else that knows your other healthcare needs has eyes on all of it and can help kind of support that. Connect you to all these different resources. We also know that some programs do require you to have a family doctor to manage that ongoing care. I know Banna's program is like that, right? So, you know, just making sure that you have that kind of home base and someone looking after your medical needs while you're getting other supports, I think is just super important and all part of that integrated care. I think it all starts with that primary care provider at the kind of the center of it or your home base.
I like the analogy of a home base. It's like, it's the person who's going to hold all the information that is important to your health, whether that be mental health or physical health. And so I think sometimes primary care providers just know you a little bit more personally than a specialist might. So then you have that added benefit of a hopefully trusting relationship with someone who, can get you the support that you need. That makes sense. Thank you for describing that attachment piece because like I said, I've heard that term used just as much as
Forever.
integrated care the past couple months. So that definitely clarifies things. So I'm just thinking from different folks who may listen to the podcast. Let's think of maybe a clinician. If there is a clinician in our community listening to this, how can they get involved with OHT? Is it like being a part of their network? Is it being a part of a clinic who that is connected to different partners within the OHT? Because now I understand it's not like a physical place, right? You're made up of your partners. So does that make sense?
It's a great question. So when you say clinician, what I thought of was like a primary care provider, like a doctor, nurse practitioner. So we have a primary care network. Actually, all OHTs have a primary care network or in development of one. And so basically, this brings together kind of solo practicing or any physician or someone who's attaching people, primary care providers in our community. I might have said that a little bit wrong, but I'd encourage anyone to check out our website. But
Yeah,
basically,
we'll put a link.
if they want to know more, they should think about joining our primary care network. We're getting more involved with it. So our website has more information, but our primary care attachment lead and who supports the primary care network, similar to how I support the mental health and addiction sector table, is Amanda Welps. And she's a teammate of mine. And so I think, yeah, just getting more and more doctors involved with this is amazing. Doctors, nurse practitioners, any primary care providers. And then otherwise, like there might be clinicians, like I also think of clinicians, like some social workers call themselves clinicians.
Yeah, that's true.
So other folks, I would see if you're a partner organization to the Windsor Essex Ontario Health team. And if you are reaching out to like a supervisor or a manager or someone you work with to see, you know, hey, what committees are we on? Is there an opportunity for me to join and get more involved? I think just asking those curious questions of being like, how can I get more involved with this kind of work? I know at the mental health and addiction sector table, we have a working group that brings together frontline intake workers across mental health and addiction organizations. And so that's a great opportunity for clinicians to be involved and really get to see the work that we're doing. So lots of opportunities I think exist, and we're always open to more, I think. So yeah, more people engaged in systems level work is better.
Yes, yeah, the more the merrier for sure. Oh, that's great. That's like a very clear understanding of what people can do next. So that was wonderful. Thank you. And maybe from the patient perspective or experience, if I'm a person struggling with my mental health, let's say tomorrow, how does the existence of WeOHT change my journey in healthcare?
Like, you're not going to call the Windsor Essex
Yeah.
Ontario Health team to get that help. You could check out our website and get navigated to lots of different great partners doing awesome work. But really, I want to highlight our partners. So I'd say one way that kind of the existence of the WeHT helps people kind of get that front door healthcare is through our work. So the Mental Health and Addiction Sector Table, one of our work plan items, for example, was like increasing hours of service. So we're just trying to really like increase access to services. So a huge, you know, big change in our community, you've probably seen like in the news and out and about in the last year, is our Mental Health and Addiction Urgent Crisis Center is
Yes.
available 24/7 to walk
Yeah.
in. One of the first times in our community where you can get walk-in, in-person mental health and addiction specialized supports 24/7 without going to the emergency room, right? So this is co-located to the emergency room, but you're not going to the emergency room. You're going into a different door. And so I think that's like a huge win, to just make it easier for people to get the help that they need. And I think generally, like you're just seeing partners improving that access to services all around, whether it's through expanding their hours or, you know, this is a big one where this 24/7 access. So that's huge. I think outside of mental health care, like I said, a huge mandate of Ontario Health Teams connecting people to primary care. One of the many ways people can get connected to primary care in Ontario is through a mechanism called Healthcare Connect. So Healthcare
Okay.
Connect is like a provincial kind of wait list for if you need primary care provider. So you can call, you can go online, and you can say, hey, I need a doctor, and then a navigator will get in touch with you. And so a lot of our work was working with the Healthcare Connect wait list navigator. I don't know if I'm saying her name or title perfectly right. I wish I did my homework a little better. But we cleared locally our Healthcare Connect wait list. So we're
Wow.
like, that's the work that we're doing. It's just really trying to find these awesome pathways. Of course, when I say we, I mean our partners. Like, we're not
Yes,
actually the ones
we are
doing
our
this.
partners. Yeah, that's all I can
Exactly.
think about.
It's
Yeah.
like it's all of our partners doing this. And we also got more funding for Windsor Essex for primary care. So supporting primary care, especially in the county area, like getting more resources here. That's some of the work that we do. So super exciting. And then I think I do want to highlight generally, like something that we focus on as an Ontario Health team is making sure that people with lived experience are more involved in system design. And you know, we see that through a lot of our partners as well that have patient family advisory committees or similar things. But that's really like at the core of what we do, is making sure that people with lived experience are more involved in system planning and system design. So we had a heart hub funded in Windsor Essex. So that's
Yeah.
our homelessness addiction recovery treatment hub. And as an OHT, we were involved in that process of like coordinating the submission of the proposal. And we had people with lived experience in the room, like guiding
Wow.
that discussion and really like informing those decisions. And I think that's a huge win, just having that involved. And how that helps the front door patient journey is like, it's making those services like informed by someone who's been there. And I think that just makes it better for folks that are actually accessing the services. So sorry, long-winded answer,
No, it was
but
wonderful.
yeah, quite a few things I think to highlight there of how slowly we're seeing the wins, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, two key wins from what you just said. First is obviously the lived experience piece. I feel like I talk about this every day now, and it's so incredible to see it in action, that it's, actually changing how we're doing things through people's perspectives and experience. So one huge win. And then the second one being that 24-hour, is it urgent care? Is that what
Urgent,
it's?
yeah, mental health and addiction urgent crisis center.
Urgent crisis. Okay. Even that, being adjacent to an emergency room, but being separate, not only does it give people access to 24/7 care, it reduces the burden on the emergency room for other things that require maybe physical interventions for. So lots of wins all around for these
Yeah.
initiatives that I think, yeah, are need to be highlighted for sure.
Yeah, and shout out to Hotel de Grace Healthcare that runs the ME2CC. Shout out to Windsor Regional Hospital because it's co-located there with their OLED emergency room. And I think Canadian Mental Health Association is another partner. There's got to be more, and I always risk not mentioning
Yeah,
everyone.
that's
So
okay.
to any partners listening, forgive me if I forgot you,
Yeah.
but like huge collaboration there. And it's just awesome to see that that's happening.
So I'm hoping the people listening, have definitely learned something so far in this conversation anyway. I
Yeah.
certainly have. Can you, I don't know, I know confidentiality, all of these things, but is there a specific story or instance where the efforts of the WeOHT, knowing that it is the work of the partners, right, has helped someone in particular with mental health and addictions that's kind of really stood out to you and the team?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question because again, like we're not offering, we as OHT staff, which is not many of us, we're not offering direct services to patients, but the partners are. And I heard a story that I want to highlight through our, so we have our mental health and addiction sector table, and that table has different working groups that bring people together to focus on projects. And so we have an intake and assessment working group, I think I mentioned before, that brings together a lot of frontline staff that do like intake and assessment at different mental health and addiction agencies. And we've been working on a project called a warm handoff standard operating procedure. It's really fancy, but essentially what it is like a checklist of what you should do when you're transferring or transitioning or re-referring someone from one mental health and addiction service to another. And basically making that as warm as you can, meaning both the patient and the providers understand the next steps, and the person or the patient doesn't need to repeat their story to get the help that they need. And so that's the project. But the story I heard when we were discussing the project was actually between two partners. Oh, and I don't want to misquote or like say the wrong person, but it was two mental health and addiction providers, and they were sharing a story of this in action, and I thought it was really awesome. And they were explaining that because of this process, whereas they might have just sent a referral before and kind of hoped the person got the help they needed. So they walked into one service and, maybe their needs were a little too significant, so they were going to send them over to a different organization. Normally, we'd send a referral form, and that's kind of what happens. Because of this process and like talking through it, I heard this story of two workers connecting about a client that they supported. And they were like, it was amazing because I got the referral from you through an e-referral system that we're both using. And I was able to respond because I didn't have information I needed and I had some questions. And that's the idea of a warm handoff is like rather than asking the patient those questions and needing to repeat themselves, you ask the worker. And so the other worker was like, yeah, and I was able to respond via secure messaging on this online platform and explain, hey, this is why I'm sending the referral and like this is what's going on. And that helped the next provider make sure they got the help they needed. It's a small example, but it's a big win. And it's just exciting. Like when I hear stories like that, I'm like, cool. Like we're doing something here, and this is great. So shout out to these frontline workers doing this work every single day. And I think what we're just trying to do is make sure that more and more people are following like a similar process where they're collaborating in that way to make those transitions as seamless as possible. Because without processes like that, like it falls on the patient or the person needing support having to kind of navigate that, right? And sometimes that can really frustrate people, and it can be the reason that they don't get service. Maybe because they're so frustrated, they say, forget it, right? People that have been there. So just a great story of two workers putting their heads together to make sure this person got the help they needed. I think that's an awesome one.
Absolutely. And I have to think of the trust that's developed for that client in that process, knowing that the previous worker, although couldn't support them in the way that they needed, cared enough to give the new person the thing, the information that they needed without them having to repeat themselves. Because sometimes I'm sure people have to reshare their stories just a million times. So trust is so important in care, and I think that's a great example of it. We're getting towards the end, Erica. I'm really curious to hear what your answer is going to be to this, but
Oh.
what is one myth you'd like to bust about mental health and addictions in Windsor, Essex right now? I feel like mental health and addictions is just a hot topic. So what's a myth you'd like to bust?
Okay, so I thought about this one a lot, and I think the myth I'd like to bust is that there aren't any mental health and addiction services in Windsor. Once in a while I hear, not once in a while, often I'll hear from people, there are no services here, right? Like we don't have services. And I think that's a myth because there are so many mental health and addiction service providers in Windsor, Essex. We are a resource-rich community. And I'm not saying we don't need more funding. I'm
Yes.
not
Erica's like,
saying
please
we
send us
could
more
do
funding.
more. But I think, like, especially when we think about comparatively to places that are like in remote communities in Northern Ontario, there we have a ton of services here. Is there a specialized service for absolutely everything you need? Maybe not. But I think that's a big one. And I think help is available. There are 24/7 lines that you can call that are based in Windsor, Essex to get support. There are 24/7 lines you can call in Ontario where you can access support, and there are 24/7 places where you can walk in and get mental health support in Windsor, Essex. So I think that's huge. Not saying there aren't still wait times. Like we see a need for people and they need services, but I think like we are in many ways a very resource-rich community where we have so many services and wonderful services available in Windsor, Essex for people and partners doing amazing work, like innovative work, really exciting things. So I think that's the one myth I'd like to bust.
Yes, you did it. Thanks for sharing that. And I have heard that comment quite a few times. And I think we just need to, as a collective, work on getting our organization, the services we provide out there to
Yes.
folks. I mean, that's literally my job. But, making sure everyone knows about these services. Because you're right, there's so many passionate people doing incredible work who are very smart right here in our community. So shout out to all of them doing the work.
Yeah, you make a good point though of like why that myth exists, and it might be because people don't know where to find the services, right? And so I think like yeah, again, that's the work to be done and what we continue to do, but
Yeah, absolutely. Where can our listeners find more information about mental health and addictions in like locally in Windsor, Essex?
So I will shout out the Windsor Essex County Health Unit and WECOS, which is the Windsor Essex Community Opioid Substance Strategy. I hope I got that right. Substance use opioid strategy. They created a local inventory of mental health and addiction services called WEC Connect, Windsor Essex County Connect, WEC Connect, which is available on their website and lists specifically Windsor Essex services, filterable in really cool ways. Like you can filter by, if it's free, if it's not free, what the specialty is, all these different things, if it's available by phone, virtually, etc. So that's just one place you can find services. It is very much like you go on and and you're searching yourself. If that's not your cup of tea, tons of other options. So provincially, we have something called Connects Ontario. This is
Yes.
a provincial number and website that you can call, text. They have an online chat, very accessible, where you can actually talk to someone, talk to them about your needs. It is anonymous. You don't have to tell them your name or anything, and they'll kind of direct you to supports in the community. And then there's lots of like other resources. I'd say go onto the WeOHT website. We highlight all the resources I just mentioned, as well as other navigation resources like 211. You can call 211 in Ontario. It's free. Someone will pick up the phone and help you find services, whether it's mental health or something else. So tons of options. And then of course, shout out to like all of our 24/7 crisis lines in Windsor Essex. We have our Hotel Du has their own crisis line. And then there's specific crisis lines for specific needs. Like I know our sexual assault crisis center has a 24/7 line as well. So many different places, which I know can be confusing for some because it's like, where do I start? But I think more and more we're trying to say there's no wrong place to start. Like, reach out to anyone that you feel comfy with. There are lots of places to find this information. And I think part of our job is trying to curate all of these different places to get the help you need in one place. So that's where the WeOHT website might be a good starting point of just where to connect to services.
That's really helpful. And I've made a note of these, and we'll be sure to include the links in the
Awesome.
description of the episode. So I'll be following up to get those from you. Yeah, last question. Do you have any final words of wisdom or something? If you have one last message to share with our community, what would it be?
Final words of wisdom. I think about systems change and get involved. Whether you're a patient with lived experience, a family member, a caregiver, a provider, see how you can get involved. I think we're all impacted by issues in our system and could benefit from more integrated and coordinated care, whether it's for yourself, your patients, people you're caring for, whatever it might be. So I think just think about the big picture as much as you can and try to get involved and, start these conversations within your own agency or get involved with like a PFAC or whatever it might be if you're someone that doesn't work at an agency to try to move the needle and, improve healthcare for everyone. Like it's helps of all of us because we all need healthcare. And so even if it doesn't benefit you today, if you're totally healthy, you might have a family member or you might need healthcare one day. So think about yourself, think about everyone else, but I think just get involved and think about how systems change could help everyone.
Even thinking of all those frontline workers, also be patient. And like, remember, like, get involved with systems level work, but also just remember that it is a process, and our community is working on it, is what I'm hearing. Everyone is working very hard to make that patient experience, those transitions, those handoffs a more seamless experience for folks. And so remember that too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. I think it takes a village and it takes time, and people who are dedicated to it. So, absolutely. Thanks.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Erica, for taking the time to join me today. I know so many folks in the community will find this conversation helpful. I learned so much, and hopefully, open their eyes to all the work that's going on behind the scenes that we talked a lot about today. And for those listening, if you are interested in learning more about eating disorders specifically in Windsor, Essex, please find us on our socials at Banna Windsor, our website, banna.ca, or read more in the Banna Be Yourself magazine. Any links Erica and I talked about will be in the episode description linked below. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.